Amen, amen. I have a title for this teaching. We're calling this "The Kingdom of God Isn't the Systems of the World." The Kingdom of God isn't the systems of the world. And we're going to base this from John, the Gospel of John 19, and we're going to just look at verses 35, 36. John 19, 35 and 36. Hang on, have I got that right? Sorry, I meant John 18. I'm so sorry. The Gospel of John 18, verses 35, 36. Praise the Lord. And here is the story of where Jesus is brought before Pilate. And Pilate is deciding what to do with him. And we take it up from verse 35. Well, verse 34, it says, "And Jesus answered," and this is to Pilate, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "I'm a Jew. Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What you have done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." So he's showing that his kingdom, which he was coming to establish, to rule and reign, they don't believe. They have rejected him. They're putting him on trial. And he reveals that the kingdom is to be put to one side until the second advent. And we note what he says here in verse 36, "My kingdom is not of this world." So he's showing that his kingdom still exists. It's not disappeared, even though that they've rejected him. He's going to reveal his kingdom. And he says, "If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight." Of course they would, because they would see him as a king, as a ruler. And so they would fight for him, but they don't see it. They're blinded. The Pharisees don't see it. And not only did he come for his people, but they're going, his people, again, betraying, are going to have him crucified. It shows us the absolute blindness of man. We do not know anything unless God opens our eyes to see. And this is a principle. I know I mention this so often, but the more you understand this, the more you appreciate that what I have, what I see, what I behold in the Word of God cannot be revealed to me. Even my own intellect won't really understand this. And he shows that there are two kingdoms. And he's showing that this kingdom of the world isn't going to save you at all. Even though we live in it, we are not a part of it. It's not our home. And this is where we learn to walk by faith. This is where God makes sons, daughters out of us. Why he delays and we still live in this world and the trials of this world. And every day when you go out, you are walking into a fallen world. We tend to forget this. It is not what it should have been. with all its beauty and where we can see God's creation and everything. But the scriptures tell us it's not clean in his sight. It's fallen. And so he says that if you were of me, you received me as your Messiah, your king, you would have accepted my kingdom. But because you haven't now, my kingdom is not from here. So he's about to do something. And we'll show in a minute what he does. But much of what is taught here is based on the systems of this world. And that's why many Christians find it difficult to juggle, if you like, my walk, my living in the world, and my walking in the Spirit, Romans 8. We are confronted with it every day. And we have to make decisions. We are dependent upon the Holy Spirit, how he guides me, how far I go, or relationships we have, even our own family, if they're not Christian. We have to be led by the Lord. How far do I go? How far do I get involved? Or with this person? Because we know that much of the world out there, their morals, their ways can corrupt. And it's so easy. So we're all the while confronted with our citizenship above and how I live as a Christian, meeting all of these things, these moral and ethical decisions, the trials and the temptations. This is how he throws us totally, utterly, completely upon him. Because this is what it does. To the degree that you trust God and walk by faith is how you have taken this world. And sometimes we've fallen badly. But that is a way and means of my standing and relationship with God. I have found many times God has used the world, its ways and things. I don't know how he does it, but he works it to draw me even closer to him. And when I have failed miserably and I have missed the mark a mile off, when I repent and get before him, he has a way of not only delivering and syringing it out of your life, but he has a way of drawing you closer to him. He uses the very enemy of the world, which it is to us, in which to draw us closer to him. Never, ever give up on the power of God that does that and can do that. It's called all things work together for good to them that love God and so called. Yes, he says right. All, not just something, all things. Whatever we encounter, to the smallest of things, it is working together for good.
Yes.
We must always, always hold on to that principle. Otherwise, it looks so negative. It never takes God by surprise. It does me, but I know it doesn't the Lord. And you see, this is why he uses the world, its systems. He uses that in which to work our consecration, our love, our commitment for him. But it's on the basis of settling discipleship. You see, you have to settle that one, because otherwise you've not given permission to God to work deliverance with you. You see, God is a gentleman. He's epitomized as the dove, the Holy Spirit, and he's given us a free will. When we willingly surrender, when we willingly settle Gethsemane, we have given him permission then to do that work that he does. And that's why it should not take us by surprise. As strange as it looks, we forget sometimes when we pray and ask the Lord to do a thing in our lives. He doesn't necessarily do it straight away. It might be 6 months later, or it might be a year later. You think, oh, what's going on here and everything? And there have been times when the Lord has brought to my mind, well, you prayed me, you asked me to do this. I thought, gosh, yes, but he never does it how you think. And he does it through situations or through people or whatever it is that you wouldn't necessarily like. But that is the perfecting work that he's doing with us. And Jesus is standing here and he's revealing that although the systems of this world, the kingdom of this age is going to crucify me, I nevertheless am not of this. I'm of another kingdom, which you are rejecting. I am convinced that that is what helped him also to go to the cross, because he knew resurrection would be there. You see, religious works and evangelism, so much of it today, and people keeping so busy, the enemy is so subtle how he stops us having this relationship with the Lord. You see, Jesus said the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. You see, if you are looking for the kingdom of God, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be disappointed because it doesn't come that way, you see. It comes differently. And he says that we are to seek the kingdom first in our hearts. So let us turn to Luke 17. Luke 17. We know these scriptures well, but I'm just showing a point here, how that we can understand what he's doing here. Luke 17 and verse 20:21. And he says this. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here,' or 'See there,' for indeed the kingdom of God is within you." So with these Pharisees, he's completely thrown them. Because, of course, they're believing for a kingdom. They're believing for their Messiah, their king, to come, to rule and reign. But they're failing to see that here is our Messiah. Here is our king. And so they're still asking that question, when is the kingdom to come? And Jesus already sees they're not going to receive this kingdom. They're blinded to it. And he says, it's in your heart. And this is the problem with religious people. They cannot receive it in the heart. And so he says, you may look around, you may try and find it, but you never will. It's birth first in the heart. And that is why Jesus, of course, gave the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Of course, that part of the prayer is praying for the second advent, when Jesus literally comes to establish his kingdom and righteousness. Until then, we press in by faith and we take the kingdom by force. We are of another kingdom. We don't fit into this kingdom. That's the reason. And that's what pushes us on, you see. It's hidden. It's obscured. And that's why even Christians, worldly Christians, cannot really understand this one. And that is why we walk by faith. And what pertains to the kingdom, we are enacting what pertains to the kingdom. Every time I pray, that's what pertains to the kingdom. Every time I embrace or I even love my enemy, that is what pertains to the kingdom. Every time I read my Bible and I see these hidden treasures coming out, this is what pertains to the kingdom. Amen. The food put on my table, the clothes on my back, this is what pertains to the kingdom. Our lives, our families, our children, particularly if you're Christian, all of this is what pertains to the kingdom. And so we have these two kingdoms in conflict. And this is why the enemy now is coming up trying to establish with control his kingdom. He's really revealing himself, what he really is as a control freak. It's witchcraft, because his time is up. And like any trapped animal, they will lash out. And we know this because we've shared with you many times in Hebrews where God's saying he's shaking the heavens and the earth. And that shaking is not going to stop till Jesus' feet touch the earth. And that shaking is exposing everything. What we're seeing now on the news, what's going on in the Middle East, all the conflict there, it's as a result, God is shaking. God will even shake our lives. He will shake everything until all of that which is established on him will stand. Have you been standing through shakings recently? Praise God. Here we are, still standing, still hearing the word, reading our Bibles. That speaks volumes to me when it can't work in the natural, you see. And that's why the message and teaching is kingdom based. And the kingdom of God, the teaching of the kingdom of God, is relationship. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Not just your material, but your relationship with God. Your communing with him. Him providing, bringing you through the trials and the testings. That is the principle of the kingdom, putting it first. Why do we stress this? Because it's already established in heaven. Jesus, the forerunner, has gone before, seated now in heaven. All the riches that are to be found in Jesus Christ are in him. Where is he at present? In heaven, at the right hand of the Father. And he says, all is yours. And he shares that on the basis if we put the kingdom first and what pertains to the kingdom. And there is a king who rules that kingdom, and his name is Jesus. So he's the one, you see. It's not rocket science. And I think the enemy probably attacks us more on putting that principle first than anything else, doesn't he? Because he doesn't want us to put the kingdom of God first. He fears, because when we are living and putting the kingdom first, we are dividing his kingdom. We are exposing his kingdom. That's what's happening, you see. And that's why he fights. Because the powers of darkness hold at present controlling this kingdom, this world, which doesn't belong to them, which doesn't belong to the enemy. He stole it. Absolutely clear, he stole it. The world, it was made for man to have dominion, to rule it. That was the original plan, God creating, and that he would have fellowship with Almighty God. You know, some raise the question, well, why couldn't man have fellowship with God? Why did we have to have a creation? Why did we have to have a world and all that sort, you know? Because the world and all that it contained, and the heavens and the stars and everything, were part of, if you like, encouraging, feeding our relationship with God. We were, for us, because we're not God, we're only made in his image, his likeness, we're flesh. All that he is and all that he created in 6 days and rested on the seventh was part of the relationship we were to have with him. So we were created in such a way to acknowledge his handiwork, to see the mightiness and the greatness of God. You see, that's why it was created, for that fellowship. You see, God could have created us and we stood just in front of him and all the myriads of hosts of angels and seraphim and cherubim. No, he created so that we could acknowledge and see the handiwork, the mightiness of God. It is essential for our worship. That's why there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. When we are raptured and we are taken up, we put on a new spiritual body, because we are created in such a way to see God's miraculous creation, how that he can speak out of nothing and create. No one else can do that. There are a lot of people think that Satan can do that. He can't. He cannot create out of nothing. He has to use things and he twists it and manipulates it. You see? That's how he works. God doesn't work like that. God can speak the word and it creates into being. And that is what moves us. Yeah. That is what we like. That is what gets our attention. That is what makes God different from anything else, you see. And why? Because he's put that in you and I for that very reason. And so that's why we're so blessed if we see something that can't happen in the natural, like somebody who's healed, or somebody who can't walk suddenly gets up and walk and everything. It moves us. It affects us. Why? Because that is what we're created and made for, to glorify his name. And he presented all of that to Adam. I mean, Adam, you know, he's in total communication with God and everything, but it must have been still blowing his mind, seeing all of this before him and God saying, you know, now you name them, it's yours. It's yours. I'm sharing this with you. I mean, you literally, you can't, I don't think you can put words into it. And God created for that purpose, that he would be glorified, you see. And this is why we hold on to the greater works. This is why we hold on to healing, deliverance, salvation. The gospel is a whole message to the whole person. There are a huge amount today who don't believe this. Oh, God isn't healing today. That was only during the time of the book of Acts and everything. Well, as I've said to some of them online, well, if you don't think God is healing you today, then why are you going to medical science to try and get healed? They can't answer that. You see? It just shows the state of the mind of a lot of professing believers. We have been so blessed over the years where we have had the word open up to us to not put any limits on God.
Amen.
And even if I'm not there or I don't believe it yet, God doesn't change. And we certainly do not change the word of God because I'm having a problem with it or I can't believe. Or, you know, at the moment, I'm not in that place of faith. Even the Apostle Paul was saying that. Do you know how he was saying that? He was saying, I haven't arrived yet. He said, I'm still in the race. So he knew there was still a work was being done in him, but he didn't deviate. He didn't change his teaching. He didn't water it down, which is such a problem today with so many teachers behind the pulpit. There is such a level of dishonesty, you see. And because God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today and always. He doesn't change, you see. And if we've got a problem with the word or we're not believing it as we should, then we should humbly go before God, pray on it, and that the Lord will work that in me. That I will come to that place of believing. I'm still believing. I'm still pressing in. I'm not there. There's still things going on. I am not happy. Because I know I don't glorify God as I should. But I still keep coming. I still keep listening. I still keep pressing in. Because that is what an overcomer is about. And this is the grace and mercy of God. And this is why we pray one for another. This is why we have body ministry. For that very purpose, you see. And, but today, you know, they've got it all so different. They equate spirituality today by being busy building your colleges and all this business. It's of the world. Many, many churches, denominations are of this world. They're a system. They're an organization. That is not what Jesus was presenting there. He said, my kingdom isn't of this world. That's why we're not of this world. And that's why we don't build these buildings. We organize it all and everything like you have today. We're just these sojourners passing through. And this is why much of the early church met in homes. For this very purpose. To stop this organizing. And there you started to get denominationalism forming. And then the harlot comes on the scene, Rome and so forth. Of course, all of this could be traced back to Babylon, you see. And that's why God won't let that happen with this body and others that are going on. Because we're of another kingdom. And not only that, but, you know, since I've been going online, I cannot believe how many Christians tithe and tell you you should still tithe. And we've had a huge amount of opposition with this one, you know, and that, well, it's not just 10%. If you're going to do it, it's a lot more than that, tithing, you know. Oh, no, we've got to support the church. The pastor's got to be supported. How is it going to pay its bills and various things like that? And I thought, they do not understand the kingdom of God. They don't see it revealed in their hearts. They are still bound by the systems of this world. And God has delivered us from the systems of this world. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom, and I will add all the rest. You're not to worry. And he means that, not to worry. But to know that your provisions will be met for that purpose, that we are kingdom-minded, and that we're preaching that kingdom message, and not a denominational message, or Catholicism, or whatever it is you hear today. Now, we know that God has a remnant. I still believe that the reason that denominationalism exists and will still exist when the Antichrist appears, because we're told, we're shown, he makes war against the woman. The reason being is there is still a remnant. See, you can never limit God. Because I said to the Lord, Lord, why have we got all these denominations? Everyone believing this, believing that, and so forth. And he just impressed into my heart, there's still a remnant. That's why I won't destroy it. And then he brought me to the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And when Abraham interceded, you remember, he said, you know, he said, well, if they're 500 there, will you destroy? And he brings it right down, doesn't he, just to his parents, his family. And the Lord says, no, I will have mercy. And then we know the rest of the story, how the angels have to go down and get them out. It's the same type of principle. And that's why we pray. He allows, he permits, for the purpose of saving. Now you think about this, because I ponder these things through as I read the word. He's going to save a remnant in the great tribulation. We see that the woman flees, and then she produces a seed. So there's a preservation there. He's going to preserve a remnant, Israel. He's then going to establish the millennial reign, where he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Then we are told at the end of that, Satan is released. Why would God do that? You know, why would he release the enemy? And it's because one, man has a free will. And secondly, that is still the long-suffering and mercy of God, that none should perish. And out of that, when he's released at the end of the millennium, there will be a remnant redeemed from that. Then everything will be wrapped up. He will roll this world and everything, it says, like a scroll. And he will bring down, he will create anew the heavens, new heavens and the new earth. And then that will be our eternal abode and living with him throughout eternity. Look at the long suffering of God for every soul to be saved. That is why our prayers, as I close now, for our family, our intercessions, friends and everything, is so powerful, because you are appealing to the mercy and love of God that will stretch to the utmost for the last soul to be saved. We need to understand the Father's heart in that, then we can pray effectively. And why am I stressing that? Because this is all what pertains to the kingdom. Hallelujah. And that's why our relationship with the kingdom of God anchors us. It anchors us in trials. It roots us. We're grounded in the rock of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God.